on this Wednesday, May 22nd, 2024 edition of the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Your election headquarters with 167 days till the presidential election, the fastest 3 hours on the internet, starts now. A lot of action in D.C. today. A lot of action. The RNC headquarters goes into lockdown, hazmat crew on site. Now, this is a developing story. We don't have too many details right now. As they come in, we'll try to bring as much information to you as possible. In fact, guys, go ahead and do a search for me on RNC headquarters and just print out the latest news. Because I was just shuffling through all my news for the last hour. I didn't even bother to check the most recent news. Maybe there's some more details. Because they say vials of blood sent to the headquarters, and it was just members of Congress that were there, and quote, along with some other things, says Anna Paulina Luna. So I don't know what those other things are. Again, this is still a developing story. We'll try to get more details. But this is the history of the Democrat Party. They don't really teach you this in the textbooks. The founding institutions of the Democrat Party, the KKK, the Weather Underground. So we'll get into that. And then also happening in D.C., you have hearings going on right now. And in fact, we could even pull some of this live. We could even pull some of this live as I'm already shouting out multiple orders to the crew here in the opening segment. The hearing on the cover-up, the COVID scandal, the cover-up of it, the cover-up of the vaccine injuries, the cover-up of the origin of the virus, the cover-up that Fauci and everybody knew the vaccines didn't work, the masks didn't work, 6 feet social distance was a made-up thing. So now there's a hearing going on about that cover-up. We might be able to take some of that live. We do have a independent journalist that's on the scene who's going to be joining us in the second hour to report on that. She was also the journalist that captured the preacher, the street preacher, getting arrested in Washington, D.C. yesterday. So we'll get a little more information on that as well. So lots of stuff happening in D.C. And there's this new proposal by the Democrats to stop payments from foreign governments. Now, this is aimed at Trump, so we'll kind of get into that. But keep in mind that Israel is exempt from being considered a foreign government dealing with donations. How convenient. How convenient indeed. And speaking of Israel, we have a lot of news on that. More strikes on the Gaza Strip. European countries backing the ICC's arrest warrants for Netanyahu. Netanyahu pushing back. Israelis pushing back. The whole thing is just crazy. Truly, it's just crazy. And really, I think it's a watershed moment in how the world views Israel, how Americans view the relationship between Israel and the United States. And it's really too bad because, I mean, it's a good thing people are seeing the dynamic for what it really is now. The shame of it is that it's kind of like how you don't want Joe Biden or Victoria Nuland or these types to represent you in the world, on the world stage. And so the same goes for a lot of the people in Israel. The same goes for a lot of Jewish people where they see what Netanyahu is doing. And in their eyes, they see, you know, anti-Semitism growing, but really it's just legitimate criticism of Israel and legitimate criticism of what they're doing in the Gaza Strip and their control over the United States government. So we got all that and more, some Biden news. I mean, this is pathetic. Biden had a rally. Wait till you see the size of this rally. Man, oh man. They all rode there on one short bus. All right, we got a lot of moving parts right now. Got the hearings going on with the cover-up of the COVID-19 scandemic. We're going to be probably pulling that live feed here in a moment. We're getting updates from the RNC headquarters getting vials of blood and, quote, other things sent to it. the Democrat Party of Violence and Terrorism rearing its ugly head again. Remember, it's kind of like, but see, it always gets covered up. You know, like when a Democrat campaign worker went to Washington, D.C. to engage in a mass shooting, James Hodgkinson. But see, this is how the media operates. And you know, I realized something because I have this video clip of this young black voter talking about how she's scared of Donald Trump and the Republicans are racist. And it's like, I already know this, but in moments like that, when you see that, it just reminds you how the propaganda works and how powerful it is. And so when I say, if you listen to InfoWars, you listen to this show, you're in the top 1% of people informed in this country. I mean, that is truly the case. Most people don't consume political media. Most people are not active news followers, consumers, researchers. They're just not. So you sit here, I sit here, we sit here as true researchers, true consumers, active listeners, readers, want to know what's going on. And we see it. And it's like, oh my gosh, look at all the propaganda. Republicans racist, Trump racist, Trump racist, Trump rapist, 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 racist, 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 rapist, 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 homophobe, 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 health rights, health rights, health rights. And it's just like, just machine gun propaganda. You're like, my God, look at all this propaganda. It's done that way intentionally. Because if they do that machine gun spray fire of the propaganda, it will eventually hit the uninformed American. It will eventually hit the ignorant American. It'll eventually hit the target demographic, whether it's a gay person and you say, look, they're homophobic, or a black person and you say, look, they're racist. They're not actively consuming news. They're not researching anything, but they have this spray-style mechanism of propaganda, and then all they got to do is hit you once with it, and then, boom, you believe the lie. So sure, you look at the Democrat-run cities, been run by Democrats for 50 years, highest crime rates, poverty rates, homeless rates, everything, falling apart, decomposing, infrastructure collapsing. And then the same people go and vote Democrat every other year. And you say, well, what the hell's going on? Well, because when they see Republican on that ballot, they see racist, they see rapist, they see homophobe. And that's how the propaganda works. And so what happens at the RNC today is a perfect example. Obviously, a liberal leftist Democrat sent whatever it is, vials of blood. I mean, who knows? Maybe it's, you know, filled with AIDS or something. And this is common practice for a Democrat. The foundational institutions of the Democrat Party were the KKK and the Weather Underground. But see, you don't get taught this in your history books. You don't get taught that the Republican Party was actually founded by black men getting into Congress. No. You don't hear about James Hodgkinson going to a Republican baseball practice trying to commit a mass shooting, a mass murder. You don't hear about any of it. You hear about Republican racist, rapist, homophobe, xenophobe, bigot. And then that's the propaganda that sticks. Barack Obama, his entire political career was launched by Bernadette Dorn and Bill Ayers of the Weather Underground, a far leftist radical criminal terror group where they actually served time in prison. But, oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine if vials of blood and, quote, other things, we don't know what they are, hopefully we'll have the update soon, were sent to the DNC headquarters? Oh my gosh. It'd be the number one story 24/7, and they'd blame it on Trump, and they'd blame it on Republicans, and they'd say that they're all terrorists, and it'd be 24/7 for the rest of the week, nonstop, And that's how their propaganda works. And they force it out there until everyone sees it, everyone consumes it, whether they want to or not. And then it's kind of like a first impression. And then, boom, you've got it. The propaganda has worked. Now, there's nothing like that on the right, except maybe through the Israeli lobby. And we've got an example of that. But outside of the Israeli influence on the Republican Party, there is no propaganda campaign. There is no mass media push propaganda campaign that exists to penetrate the hearts and minds of the American people like the Democrats have. So they're not going to hear about the vials of blood and hazardous materials, the weather underground, James Hodgkinson, the list goes on and on and on. Because the right does not have a political propaganda machine to put that information out and get it into the consciousness of the American people. Now, I want to take a break from this. I want to go live to D.C. There's a hearing happening right now on the cover-up of the COVID-19 scamdemic, how they were erasing emails to cover up what they knew, what they lied about. James Comer questioning the top NIH advisor who deleted records and then was using private emails to communicate. Let's go live right now.
Did the NIH FOIA office instruct you on how to delete emails or avoid FOIA?
No.
On October 25th, 2021, another scientist wrote, quote, David is concerned about the privacy of text and other messages from his cell phone to you and me because he has been using a government phone. This came from Tony, end quote. Sir, did you ever have any conversations with Dr. Fauci regarding using personal phone or email to communicate with Dr. Daszak?
I don't remember it. It's possible. You know, I probably wouldn't have remembered it, and I don't remember it. He and I usually never talked about that kind of stuff. It would be very unusual if it happened.
On January 18th, you testified that you did not have any conversations with Dr. Fauci regarding EcoHealth. On October 25th, 2021, you wrote, quote, Peter, from Tony's numerous recent comments to me, they're trying to protect you, end quote. You meaning EcoHealth and Dr. Daszak. Dr. Renz, did you ever have any conversations with Dr. Fauci regarding EcoHealth?
Well, the ones you just mentioned, I don't have any recollection of that.
No recollection.
Recollection, no. Let me just say what I do remember is one time in a face-to-face meeting, he referred or alluded to some stuff that was in the press. I don't even think he said what it was, but it was about, I assumed it was about Peter's grants and press reports about it, and the ending of the grant. And I said to him, sort of out of the blue, guessing what he was really thinking, I said to him, Tony, I know you would have never been involved in getting rid of that grant. And he didn't respond. He just sort of looked at me and...
So Dr. Fauci was always a big defender of EcoHealth and their...
And they've now lost their funding now, their taxpayer funding.
First, they denied all of it.
I can't speak for him. I think he had great respect for them. And when the grant problems came about, I think he was troubled by it. I just thought of something that I'd forgotten to say. At some point, somebody, it may not have been Tony, but it might have been Hugh Oppenklaus, somebody said to me, you know, Peter's his own worst enemy because he made some mistakes on that grant.
I would say that's a factual statement. On April 21st, 2021, you wrote that Dr. Fauci is, quote, too smart to let colleagues send him stuff that could cause trouble, end quote. On June 16th, 2020, you wrote, we're all smart enough to know to never have smoking guns, and if we wouldn't put them in emails, and if we found them, we'd delete them. Now, did you ever have conversations with Dr. Fauci regarding deleting emails?
I don't remember any such thing.
You don't remember?
No, sir. And Tony and I don't have those kind of conversations.
Did you ever delete any official records?
Not to my knowledge. I mean, but again, we're at the issue of defining what's a federal record. I deleted a lot of emails. I do it every day. But they're, in my mind, they're trivial things not related to government business.
In response to my questions, Dr. Back said he absolutely agreed with every compliance action the NIH took against Dr. Daszak and EcoHealth. And over the past 2 weeks, both EcoHealth and Dr. Daszak have been suspended from receiving federal funding, finally, and proposed for debarment. Do you agree with NIH's actions against EcoHealth?
You know, I don't know the details about, I've never seen the grant. I don't know what's in it. I can't really speak to that, but I can say I've known Peter Daszak for almost 20 years. And in my personal opinion, he's an honorable, decent.
So have you had conversations with Dr. Daszak about this recent suspension?
Not a conversation. I knew about it. He sent me an email or something. Was a press
so they occurred over email.
Hmm?
You and Dr. Daszak communicated via email about his disbarment?
I should say Gmail, not NIH thing. Email. He doesn't send, you know, he was sending NIH stuff to my NIH email for a long time, and I kept telling him, don't do that. And that's how this Gmail thing started. He sent me, in 2020, he sent a message to me on my government NIH email. And I forget what it was. Maybe I never knew what it was. But eventually, that email was FOIA'd.
Okay.
So wait a second. Can I finish?
Go ahead.
Eventually, this email was FOIA'd. And Peter contacted me and said, you know, some friend you are, I send you an email with all my personal stuff, and it ends up in the newspaper. And that really struck me. That was a turning point for me, because he was under death threats.
And I get it. Mr. Chairman, if I may, just one last yes or no question. Have you had any conversations with Dr. Daszak about this suspension, yes or no?
The suspension?
The suspension of the disbarment, the suspension.
Not conversation, but he has sent me an email with...
But that's an email's a conversation, a conversation via email then. You've had a conversation via email with Dr. Daszak.
Well, if you call it a conversation, yes. It's you know, we didn't talk about it, but he just sent it to me, and I read it or not. That's all.
Thank you. You're back.
Now recognize Ms. Ross from North Carolina for 5 minutes of questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Morenz, I really take very seriously these allegations of misconduct. And the unauthorized disposition of NIH email records, your blatant disregard for transparency obligations under FOIA, and the manner in which you conducted yourself, including disparaging language toward others of differing perspectives, not only call into question your judgment, but also your character. And on a larger scale, they inflict serious damage on public trust for the entire scientific enterprise. Because you don't, when you work for the federal government, you're not just working for yourself. You're working for the people, and you're working with your colleagues. Since the start of the pandemic, we have seen a decline in the public's confidence in science and public health.
Well, I guess
one study
in disguise
conducted by the Pew Research Center found that between April 2020 and October 2023, the number of Americans who reported that they had a great deal of trust in scientists fell by 16%, from 39% to 23%. And while proliferation of misinformation about COVID-19 has certainly fueled this decline, when the American public sees that one of the federal government's own scientists was potentially trying to hide their work-related conversations from the public by using a personal
Email. Pot it down real quick.
That will only...
By the way, Democrats and Republicans are both coming after this guy today. But disinformation. Oh, yeah, all the disinformation that ended up becoming true. I guess she missed the documents that came out where they all said they knew the vaccine was ineffective. They all said that 6 feet of social distancing was completely made up, and that they covered up that it came out of the lab in Wuhan, China. I guess Representative Ross must have missed that information. We didn't. We covered that. So that's what I'm saying. You're more informed than the average member of Congress. You care more about this country than the average member of Congress. And she says, oh, the lack of trust in the scientific community because of disinformation. And she gives no examples. So what's she talking about? Wuhan came out of a lab. That was true. The vaccines are not safe or effective. That was true. 6 feet social distancing and the masks had no scientific cause to be implemented. That was true. So no, it wasn't misinformation that led to the distrust of the medical community. It was them lying to us. But you just can't go all the way, can you? Because you're just up there as part of a big show, pretending like you're informed, pretending like you care, because you want to get reelected. Continue.
People don't trust scientists. They don't trust the science. So you've answered this question in another way, but do you agree that your conduct as a scientist working for the federal government betrayed the highest ethical standards that are expected of you and are expected to maintain the trust of the American people?
Well, that's a several-part statement, and let me answer it by saying I've always thought of myself as an ethical person. It's important to me to tell the truth and do decent things, and that's why I stuck my head up to defend Peter when he was under death threats. Obviously, and I thought all these things I was doing that were on my private Gmail were outside the domain of my official job as a private citizen. But I've obviously made mistakes. I've mixed up emails and Gmails, and that's caused me to do all of the things you mentioned, but bring discredit on myself and on the government. I don't know what to say. I've apologized. Yeah. I regret that. I wish I could take it back, but I can't.
Thank you. It's imperative for the American public to trust the scientific community in order to best protect our nation's public health. We're seeing in real time the consequences when trust declines. As members of the Select Subcommittee, it's critically important that we work to rebuild that trust in public health and science.
Mm, your trust actions your loving government.
Mm-hmm. Have not helped these efforts. Thank yes. you, and I yield back.
You need to trust your loving government.
Dr. Mm-hmm. Miller Meeks from Iowa for 5 minutes of question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I thank you, Dr. Morins, for testifying before the Select Subcommittee this afternoon. And if I can, I'm just going to follow up for a question that you were asked by Dr. Maliotakis in reference to whether or not you received any funding or monies in relationship to the amount of funding going to an EcoHealth grant. So to expand on that, did you receive any gift or anything of value during that exchange from Dr. Daszak of EcoHealth?
Dr. Daszak's scientist, a guy named Kevin, I shouldn't mention his name, doesn't matter, but the EcoHealth people have their own private, it's like a baseball cap. And I made a comment that that's a really cool hat. And he said, I have an extra one. This one's old and it's got some stains on it. I'll just give it to you.
Well, thank you for that. And Dr. Moran,
okay.
I can understand how very difficult it is for you to be here. You've had an illustrious career. You went to undergrad and medical school at a very prestigious university. I was on faculty at the University of Michigan. You're dual board certified, which is not an easy thing to do, to have dual board certification. As a public health servant and a captain in the public
All right.
health service.
I'm going to go ahead and just pull out of this. It's mostly appearing to be a nothing burger, and that's because this guy is kind of just a toady of Fauci, and that's the guy that needs to testify again. But really, we're beyond that. He needs to be prosecuted is what needs to happen. He lied under oath, and you know, you'd have to look at criminal statutes, but I mean, what do you do with a guy who lies to the American people and those lies result in harm and death from an official government administrator? What do you do with a guy who's funding research with U.S. taxpayer dollars that would be illegal in the United States of America? What do you do with that guy with that research that then kills millions of people? And his advice kills millions of people and then lies about it under oath. What's the punishment there? But this guy's hard to get a read on. Maybe he's just a good liar, or maybe he's just a useful idiot. But he says in the email, and they just had it on the screen, please don't use my government email because that can be FOIA'd. So right there, he's recognizing that they don't want to have these discussions on the government record so they can cover them up. He says, you and Peter should only email me on Gmail so I can't be FOIA'd. I mean, that's just crazy. Will we ever get justice for what was done to us during COVID? But see, the whole COVID scam was all about getting Trump out of office. The whole COVID scam was about setting the precedent for a global government where these policies are instituted worldwide and all the globalist-controlled leaders enact these policies. But more importantly, those responsible for the creation of the virus, those responsible for the pushing of the vaccines that killed people, those responsible for the health protocols that killed people, when are they going to be punished? You got a guy that gets arrested in Washington, D.C. for reading the Bible. You got pro-life protesters that are facing decades in prison. But if you're Anthony Fauci and your policies and your advice and your research is responsible for millions of deaths, you get on the cover of Time Magazine. You're the man of the year. That's how fucked up our world is right there. And we gotta change it fast. Now, here's the problem. The distrust of the scientific community or the health advisors in the government, they have betrayed us for so long. You know, there's this huge trend on the internet where people go back and find videos from decades ago, you know, 80s, 90s, even all the way up to the 90s. And they'll show videos of the beach, 60s, 70s, you're at the beach, you're at a music festival, you're at a restaurant, high school parties, the high school classrooms, and nobody's fat. At least nobody's, you know, morbidly obese like some of the stuff you see. And so that's all because of the diet. And so what do you, oh, you don't hear from the medical community. You don't hear from the medical establishment and the health community and the government about how toxic the average Western diet is, more specifically the United States diet is, that results in just this mass obesity. Size, people so big that if they would have existed 50 years ago, it would have been like a modern marvel. It would have been like a circus act. And, you know, I'm not trying to be rude to those people. It's been done to them with the diet. It's been done to them with the food supply. And, it's tough. It's tough to get out of that. See, they don't say anything about that. No. There's no warnings about the modern American diet and what to do about it. I mean, have you ever, this happens all the time. Foreign exchange students will come over here. I remember some of them came to my extended family's house. Girls from Europe, and they'd come here skinny, healthy, and then after a year, they would be fat from the American diet. But see, oh yeah, did you ever hear about that? Did they ever warn you about that? Is anybody trying to help you on that? But it's worse than just what happens to your body. It's bad for your brain. Here's a study of rats, a rat that's on a healthy diet, and then a rat or a mouse that's on a North American type diet, and it destroys their brains. See if this sounds relatable or familiar in clip 20.
This rat is perfectly healthy. Put him in a vat of water and he finds his way to safety every time.
5.2.
Now, look at this guy. What he's been eating is the equivalent of a North American diet, complete with all the fats and sugars we regularly consume. He doesn't know where to go. His brain has been damaged.
These rats were totally normal,
and then they turned into demented animals. They don't remember their learning after even a day. And as the challenge gets harder and harder, they fail more and more, just like a human with Alzheimer's disease.
And of course, Alzheimer's way up.
In this lab, the belief now is that Alzheimer's is really diabetes of the brain, linked to insulin levels, which can be affected by too much sugar.
So, and it's not just the sugar. It's the processed sugar. It's the high fructose corn syrup. It's everything else. They put it in everything. I mean, you really got to read the ingredients now. Good luck finding anything that doesn't have, the quote-unquote natural flavors or the high fructose corn syrup or red dye this and yellow dye that. And it's destroying you. It's destroying your body. You know, the crew had this. I didn't even know they had this back there. It was on somebody's desk. And it's just a picture of the beach. You've probably even seen this. It's a picture of the beach in the 1970s. Everybody's skinny. Literally, you can't even find a fat person. And then the beach in 2021, and you can't even find a skinny person. Now, I'm not trying to be rude to people that are obese or have weight issues. I would encourage you to take that challenge to make yourself more healthy and lose a lot of weight. And I know it's not easy. And that's why some people just give up. But that's what I'm saying is, this is a real phenomenon. It's directly correlated with the diet. It's more than just your body. It's your brain. It's your mind. It's everything. And you're supposed to have trust in the medical establishment? You're supposed to have trust in the government health institutions that have failed you miserably? And then they come out and say, don't drink raw milk. It's bad for you. When there's all kinds of health benefits behind raw milk. You want to drink raw milk? Good. You don't want to drink raw milk? Fine. I don't care. We need to trust the health institutions of the U.S. government. No, you need to distrust them. With good reason. With good reason. See, and then it ties into the larger dehuman agenda. The larger eugenics, and you find out it's basically five companies that own almost all the food and manufacturing production, specifically the stuff that comes into your grocery store freezers and the aisles of your grocery store with all the horrible ingredients in them. And that's good. That's okay. That's all FDA approved. But if you go to the farmer's market, the farmer's market isn't FDA approved. In fact, the FDA would say, don't go to your farmer's market. The loving government hasn't approved that. But the loving FDA approved all the food that made you fat and stupid. And you're supposed to trust these institutions. It's a dangerous position because you can be controlled and manipulated just as easily if you're a ultra contrarian. So it's a dangerous position to say, whatever the U.S. health administrations are telling me, I'm going to do the opposite. But you'd be a lot safer, you'd be a lot better off by taking that approach than to trust everything they're telling you. Now, I'd say do your own research and go with what's obvious. Go with what's instinctual. Oh, red meat's bad for you. No, it's not. It's good for you. Oh, raw milk's bad for you. No, it's not. It has all kinds of health benefits. But see, they're not warning you about everything that's in the grocery store aisle with all the food dyes and the processed sugars and the high fructose corn syrup and all the drinks. Oh, no. See, the FDA isn't warning you about that. That's FDA approved. They're telling you not to eat food that's good for you. You know, and then there was this, if the crew can find this before, oh my God. I mean, folks, that's just inhuman. I mean, that's just not natural. That's a man, by the way. And we'll see if the crew can find this before the break. There's this viral video of this girl who shoots this video. Choose your health advisor. And it's this, and it's an obese person. And it's, you know, every health advisor is obese or a transgender man, a fake woman. Yeah, there it is. They already had it pulled up. Look at these studs. There, yeah, choose your health advisor. Go ahead. No, go with it. They got a little Super Smash music. Go ahead and play the whole thing with the audio.
Hi,
back, big fat ass. England, I mean, what even is that? Belgium looks like she ate the one from England. And then USA, a man pretending to be a woman. Choose your health expert. I mean, that's just, oh my gosh. So there you go. Okay. And we're getting a little sound interference there. So look at the crew today. Just absolutely on fire. Absolutely on fire. Oh man, I love this crew. All right, we're about to take a break here. Remember, folks, it's more than just me here at the desk. There is a great crew behind me that makes everything we do here possible. So that's why your continued support at InfoWarsStore.com is so important. Because, you know, a lot of people know about Alex, they know about me and Harrison Smith and some of the other people here and the great guests, but there's a crew behind the scenes that makes everything possible, and you support them too when you shop at InfoWarsStore.com. Emergency food supplies, 10% off right now. Water filters from InfoWarsStore.com, 10% off right now. Plus, we do care about your health. We do want you to be healthy. That's why we sell health products like Nitric Boost and Ultimate Fish Oil, both on sale, 40% off. So support us at InfoWarsStore.com. So we can continue these great transmissions, 10 hours live a day and more. All right, let's quickly give you the latest on the hazardous materials sent to the RNC. It was evacuated. They brought in hazmat teams. People have returned to the building. Hazardous material teams called in hazmat suits. They are continuing to investigate the vials of blood and the other hazardous materials that came in with the suspicious package. They were addressed to Donald Trump. Go figure. RNC is considering this to be a biological attack. Democrat terrorism? That's something. Democrat terrorism. Par for the course, really. If you know your history, par for the course. So, still investigating where it came from. Sending blood is an interesting move. That's an interesting move. Especially if they have record of your DNA. But the media will barely report on this. It'll barely be a story. Now, of course, if it was sent to the DNC, they found out it came from a conservative, it'd be the number one story. Everybody that ever votes Republican would be a terrorist, and everybody would do that again. And then they'd think, oh, Republican, oh, yeah, they sent those vials of blood. I can't vote for them. Yeah, the Democrats have completely destroyed everything, but, I mean, I don't want to be a terrorist. So that's just how the bias in the media goes. Now, Joe Biden, this thing is a disaster. This thing is a disaster. So Joe Biden's motorcade, I'm telling you folks, they cannot do public events. And this is why Biden, they announced too early that he was having an event in New Hampshire. They announced it actually a couple days early. Usually they give you like an hour's notice so that no protesters can organize. As the Biden motorcade is rolling up, what happens? A Trump rally breaks out on the streets to greet Joe Biden in New Hampshire. And they say New Hampshire's up for grabs. Trump could win New Hampshire. It's only like 2 or 3 electoral college votes, but significant nonetheless. And so this is what happens now. If there's more than a day in advance warning of where Biden is going to go, a Trump rally breaks out as Biden's motorcade is passing through Nashua, New Hampshire. Here it is, clip 11. They're waving Trump flags, wearing Trump hats, anti-Biden chants and signs. This is how Biden is introduced and greeted when he travels and people know where he's going to be and when he's going to be there. Now, there's more people there There's more people there to support Trump and protest Biden just out on the streets than there are at the actual Biden event. You guys can dot cam this or put it on the screen. Here's an image of the Biden event. Now, again, these are all invite only. These are all for donors only. Or if they do like a union deal, it's all for loyal union members. Oh, beautiful job. Let's give me a pause real quick. Or actually, yeah, keep the B-roll of this going because I can basically count what we have going here. All right, so you've got a tape. You've got tables, eight people at a table, and you've got, let's say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We'll say 12 tables. What is this guy saying? So this is the big Biden event. And you've got 96 people there, basically. You have 100 people, let's say. And really, I'm just doing the math on how many tables there are. They're not even filled. But let's just say 100 people at a Biden event. 100 people. More people show up to protest Biden. This is why he can't do public rallies. This is why they can't announce where Biden is going to be and when he is going to be there. I mean, this is just a sick joke. This is a sick joke. And there's this weird, it's like, you know, abracadabra magic where, and they did the same thing in 2020. They had the excuse of the pandemic, but how are they going to explain this? How are they going to explain, this is not going to change, by the way. It's only going to get worse. How are they going to explain Joe Biden averaging 100 people at every rally he has, Donald Trump averaging 10, 20,000? How are they going to explain this? They don't have the pandemic to blame it on. So how are they going to explain this? Don't believe your own lying eyes. You don't even know a Biden supporter. Never even seen a Biden hat. I see Kennedy hats. I see RFK Jr. hats. I don't see a Biden hat ever. RFK has bigger rallies than Biden. It's such a sham. So what's he trying to do? Well, he's trying to buy votes. Biden to sell off 1 million barrels of gasoline held in reserve to keep prices low before election. And we covered this yesterday. And it can't even last. If this is like, you know, putting a Band-Aid on a stab wound. So that's what he's doing. He's trying to put a Band-Aid on a stab wound. But that's the problem is he just going to keep tapping into the oil reserve until it's at zero? Because we're at the record low levels already. He keeps tapping into it to keep gas prices low for political reasons. So, okay. And then in June or July, when it goes back up to $4, $5, $6 a gallon, is he going to tap into the oil reserve again? And then what are we going to do? Trying to buy votes. Biden to cancel $7.7 billion in federal student debt for 160,000 borrowers. The Supreme Court already said it was illegal. You can't cancel student. There's no such thing. You don't just cancel the debt. How does it, what does that even mean? Canceling debt. How do you cancel debt? Who pays for the debt? Are the banks taking the hit? Are the colleges taking the hit? No, the U.S. taxpayers are taking the hit. Now, again, we give hundreds of billions of dollars in foreign aid. At the flick of a switch, $100 billion in foreign aid. So if you want to say we've got $5 billion for black farmers, well, okay. We're going to give $7.7 billion to Americans who have student debt. Well, okay. If that's how we're just going to pump and dump money, well, that's sure a lot better than $100 billion, $200 billion, $300 billion for Ukraine and Israel and everybody else. So he'll have to do it again. He's going to have to tap into the strategic oil reserves again before the end of summer. And, I mean, we're going to come back with the press conference here with Karine Jean-Pierre. And then we got our guest coming up. Well, I guess we can go to some of these clips now. There's just multiple clips here on the student debt. So we'll just push that on pause and we'll come back to it. Hey, but you know what? They're struggling to get votes, so they've got it figured out. Biden campaigned to hire meme manager. Ooh, meme manager as president struggles for support from young voters. Well, yeah, you bought and paid for these two young soy boy characters on Twitter that can't move the needle at all. And so now they're looking for meme managers. Well, you know, there's the old meme that the left can't meme. So that's your problem. Because it's kind of like with art or with comedy, there has to be some realism to it. Otherwise, it doesn't work. So yeah, you can make memes, but they're not based in reality, so they don't work. Like when we show memes here, or, you know, you see the Trump memes and stuff, they work because they're based in reality. But I guess the liberal logic, the Democrat Party logic, isn't based in reality. So they just figured, well, we'll just make stuff up and call it memes. Well, it ain't going to work. All right, so the courts, the lawyers have already said Biden can't, quote unquote, cancel student debt. And of course, cancel, to say it's canceled is just propaganda. It's not canceled. They're just not paying for it. They're making you pay for it. And so Karine Jean-Pierre was pressed on this during the press conference today. But here she is, you know, Biden is a dictator now, so he can steal from you to pay other students' debt to buy votes. And here she is saying it, clip 7.
Today we announced that the Biden-Harris administration canceled student debt for an additional 160,000 people, meaning 4.75 million Americans
are paying for it. So Biden dictates that you, the American taxpayer, will have to pay for somebody else's student debt. Can I get somebody to pay off my mortgage, or if I've got credit card debt or anything? Can you just get that? Can Biden just declare that you pay that too? Of course not. He's buying votes for, he's trying to buy young votes because they're hemorrhaging those votes right now. And again, just to say canceled is a lie. That phrase is propaganda. No student loan debt is being canceled. They're stealing from you to pay it off and buy young votes. So she gets pressed on this, and here's her excuse for why they're doing it. One of the excuses in clip 8.
Then is the White House's message to those Americans who did not attend college for a variety of reasons, perhaps, including perhaps that they didn't want to take on all the debt that went with it right now, that they feel like in some form they are responsible for allowing those who did not to pay their fair share.
So look, here's the thing. This is a president who has been very clear about making sure that he's building an economy that leaves no one behind, right? Making sure that...
left behind support because they didn't go to college?
I hear your question, but this is... If you look at what the president has done holistically over the past 3.5
holistically.
Years, he has tried to build an economy for everyone.
Holistically? I thought, was that not a clip where she said people are being crushed? I thought there was another clip of that. But she's sitting here. Think about the dual nature here. So the Biden economy is so great. Everybody's doing so great. Biden has holistically built the economy back up. It's so great that people can't afford to pay their debt. What? It doesn't make any sense. So people are being crushed. People are being crushed with financial burden. And so that just shows how great the economy is doing. That's the Karine Jean-Pierre logic at the press conference. Amazing. Let's see if this is the same thing. Give me clip 10.
Then is the White House's message to those Americans who did not attend college for a variety of reasons,
that's good.
Perhaps.
But that's the obvious question here is, you chose not to go to college because you couldn't afford it. Well, you're the sucker now because you're paying for the other guy that did go to college that couldn't afford it and now can't pay his loans off. It's just thievery. straight up theft, trying to buy votes. It's crime. Actually, it's Joe Biden committing a crime is what it is. According to the Supreme Court, according to lawyers, Joe Biden's just committing a crime. And they lie and they say, oh, he's canceling it. And they lie and they say, well, you know, Joe Biden did such a great job building the economy that nobody can afford their loans, so we're going to steal from you to pay him off. Now, here's a question they have at the border before we go to the break, clip nine.
The president has the authority to do something about this unilaterally. Congress is in a divided government right now. Why isn't he doing anything?
Well, why should he have to do it unilaterally? Why should we do it in a legislative way? And let's not forget that negotiated So you're right. He took many executive actions before. But in order to deal with what's happening at the border, in order to deal with a broken immigration system, you need
broken law. Immigration system. No, they opened the border. We have a broken border. I mean, the lies that come from this administration are so obscene. But imagine that. You can't even have a real... And the media is so pathetic. You can't even have a real conversation. You can't even say it like it is. We're being invaded, and they're stealing our money to pay for it. All right, remember, this happened yesterday. Christian preacher arrested in D.C. Here is the video, clip two. And a whole giant police force out there. Protect you from the dangerous Christian preacher. Look out, watch out, he might read the New Testament.
Okay, what are my rights? Tell me my rights. I'm looking at my feet. Where can I stand? Tell me where to stand.
Look out, that man might hand you a Bible.
I'm seeing my feet right now. Where do I stand?
Okay, this man might pray for you. Shut him down.
Can I go this way? No? I can only go this way.
If you want to do this parallel game.
I'm trying to get the person you arrested on video because I'm a journalist. Okay. Don't violate my
They got their blue helmets
amendment.
On because they want to block any thoughts from coming in about free speech.
Do you know why he got arrested?
No.
He's a Christian.
Why are these Jesus, what have a living relationship with Jesus.
Welcome to America.
Right off the roof, your friends.
One Christian arrested at the U.S. Capitol.
Nice chemtrails in the sky, too. That's beautiful.
2024. Welcome to the United States of America.
Well, yeah, I mean, he violated the anti-Semitism bill, don't you know? He read the New Testament. Dirty American. Damn Christian bigot.
I will get the full story and report it to all y'all out there. It's never ending. The persecution, prosecution, and arrest of Christians under the Biden regime is completely out of control.
All right, so the voice you hear there is Corinne Clifford. She said she would give us the full story, so we go to her live now. She's just outside the Capitol. So, Corinne, what is the full story? Was this man charged? Was he released? What do we know?
Thank you, Owen. I'm so grateful you're giving me this opportunity to explain it, because this is the most banned and censored news, and it happened right in front of me.
So give us the full story here. What's the latest?
Yeah, so I cover all the J6 court cases. I cover Congress. And what happened yesterday is that I was told by a pastor who's facing 22 years in federal prison for standing up and saying no to abortions in two states, in Tennessee and in Michigan. And he said, you know, we're just going to be in front of the U.S. Capitol after, you know, certain persons get sentenced. So three pastors went in front of the U.S. Capitol just to do the normal stuff pastors do, talk about the Bible. Totally nonviolent. All of a sudden, I walk over there to interview one of them because he's facing 22 years in federal prison. Another one of the three. All three were doing the same thing. One of the three pastors gets arrested by the U.S. Capitol Police in a really violent, volatile way. He was standing on a sidewalk. And they kept on pushing me back, not letting me take video footage. It was the most aggressive thing I've ever seen. What I'm watching in Washington, D.C. is the government, the federal government, targeting Christians, especially white men of fighting age like yourself. The man who got arrested yesterday, Owen, probably your age, preaches across America. The pro-Palestinian protesters were in front of Blinken. They were getting kicked out of Congress. they get out with $50 fines, a slap on the wrist, no big deal. They can do that three times.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up. Is that confirmed? Did they not charge him? They just cited him and gave him a $50 fine?
That's why I don't cover them protesting, because even though their group is really entertaining, they pick who they want to protest. They get three chances with a $50 fine. They have it all organized. It's all strategized. They know exactly what they're doing.
Hold on. Hold it right there. I want to come back to that, and I have that video. This is incredible, because you're down there working in D.C. You get all this information. But I want to go back to the preacher that was arrested. So now, hold on. Reading the New Testament is violent now, they say. Okay, that's anti-Semitic and violent. That's what the House says. But what, I mean, do we know what his actual crime was? Do we know what they're trying to charge him with? Was he released?
Yes, and I would say his name, but he asked me not to dox him right now because he wants to prepare his family for the backlash. Basically, he's getting charged with illegal demonstrating, which is so ridiculous. And he has a court date online. We found him a lawyer. Thank you, God. This case is relevant because Reverend Mahoney just got it through the D.C. court system that you could actually protest as a Christian on the steps of Congress.
Well, he's not even on the steps.
Right, exactly. He was on the sidewalk. So this is very relevant, because this is the persecution and targeting of Christians.
Well, that's totally public ground. I mean, let's be clear here for the audio listeners. He's totally on public grounds. They do have, I don't know why, sometimes they barricade the steps there. The steps were barricaded. He wasn't on the steps. He was on the public grounds. Were there any, I mean, I see all kinds of people standing there. Why did they go after him?
Then he was giving out a postcard with Bible verses on it, and they said that he was pamphleting illegally, which is so ridiculous because he didn't get charged with that. They just wanted to pick him up and harass him. The harassment and the torture, basically, of Christian young men like yourself in the United States of America is happening now. I'm watching it since 2021 in Washington, D.C., and that's why I'm very concerned.
Well, I know Harmeet Dhillon picked this story up and offered legal help. I don't know if she's involved in helping this guy legally now. I would like to find out the chain of command and who sent the orders out to arrest this individual, because I happen to know from experience a lot of times it comes directly from House leadership. In this case, it would be Mike Johnson. I mean, I don't know. I guess I wouldn't be that surprised if Mike Johnson gave this order. I think Nancy Pelosi probably still runs the whole thing. But, you know, I'd like to find out why they chose to target this guy.
I will find out. It's just beginning, and I will find out everything. You see that police officer, the U.S. Capitol police officer? He was so rude. He tried to violate my First Amendment free press. And we're in trouble in America. This has to stop. The targeting of Christian men of fighting age has to stop.
Well, the second time I got arrested at the Capitol, and we'll go to the protest you mentioned about Blinken, when I got arrested with the piece of tape over my mouth, I was told by Capitol Police, before I even went into the building, they were like, Owen, if you go in there, we've been given orders to arrest you. That was before I even went in the building. The Capitol Police told me, we've been given orders to arrest you. Just, you sure you want to go in there? Like, please don't go in there. We don't want to do this. I'm like, I'm not committing any crimes. I have the right to be in this building. There were dozens of Trump protesters there yesterday. And so, sure enough, then they went in there and they arrested me because I had a piece of tape over my mouth. But okay.
Listen,
so
I went to three congressmen about this.
But here's the proof that this is all politically motivated and the persecution here exists and call it a two-tiered system of justice. So I get arrested. I spend 36 hours in jail for that. Okay. I got arrested. Those charges were eventually dropped, by the way. The judge threw those charges out. I get arrested for disruption of Congress in 2019 when I stood in front of Jerry Nadler during the fake impeachment of Donald Trump, and I was arrested then. I was imprisoned then. I had to deal with years of probation. They charged me. But here's the video that you mentioned. This was from Blinken's testimony yesterday, a pro-Palestine protester disrupts clip 3.
Republic of China.
He is a war criminal. The blood of 40,000 people is on his hands. The blood of 40,000 Palestinians is on his hands. He is a
Secretary, you may continue.
Now, let me be clear about something. Whether I agree or disagree with what she's saying, I happen to agree. But whether I disagree or agree with what she's saying is irrelevant. I would say that she executed her First Amendment right. I don't believe she should be charged. Now, she did kind of resist arrest a little bit, but not violently. I mean, they had to carry her out. But, I mean, she wasn't violent. I would say for somebody that has been arrested and gone through years of court and legal fees and probation and everything else, no, I would actually say she does not deserve to be arrested. She does not deserve to be charged. If she's never done it before, just give her a warning, give her a citation, and say you got 24 hours, you can't come back in the building. I would say that's the proper response to that. I would say that's First Amendment activity. Maybe you could argue she's resisting arrest, but I would say that's First Amendment activity, her right to protest, whether I agree with what she's saying or not. But Corinne, you're saying you have an update. What was the conclusion? Was she charged? Did she go to jail?
Yeah, so they all went to jail. They went to the U.S. Capitol jail. It's a specific jail for protesters. And the pro-Palestinian protesters, the Stop War protesters, they get $50 fines. And they can do that three times. They can disrupt three times if they want to.
That's funny. I didn't get that.
Exactly. Exactly. You should have gotten that because that's what they're getting. And it's all staged. It's all a setup. And I really enjoy them. They're interesting. But it's fake.
Well, and they have a First Amendment right, too. But, you know, it's funny now because I'm going through this. When they did eventually take me down, and I don't want to retell the whole story here on air, when they eventually took me to the processing place and then throw me in jail, because, look, you know, it's so eerie. You know, a lot of these Capitol police officers are, you know, quote, unquote, just doing their job. And so they'll kind of sometimes with a wink and a nod tells me what's really going on. And I believe it was Jane Fonda. I think it was Jane Fonda that disrupted Congress one time too. And I get brought down there to the jail you're talking about. And one of the police officers, I guess, knew who I was. And he was like, "Oh, you know, Schroyer, what are you doing here?" I'm like, "Well, I don't know. They arrested me. They're going to try to charge me or something." And he's like, "Oh, okay." And he looks at the citation or whatever the charges that are being written, and he goes, "Oh," he looks at the officer. He's like, "Oh, wait, wasn't Jane Fonda just in here for that?" And he was like, "Yeah." And he was like, "Didn't we just release her with a citation?" And they were like, "Yeah." And he was like, "Huh, well, that's not very fair, is it?" And then, of course, they locked me up. So it's just amazing. Some people get certain allowances when it comes to protests, and some people don't. And I would even argue the only reason that protester even went to the jail at all was because they were pro-Palestine. And the Israeli lobby that works in D.C. Otherwise, if they were anti-Trump or they were pro-abortion or climate change or anything like that, they wouldn't even have spent a second in the jail. They would have just been released.
That's what they're doing in Washington, D.C. They're targeting specific people that they want to arrest. For example, Stephanie Lambert, who's an actual lawyer, got arrested in the courtroom a couple weeks ago. She got arrested and released. She was strip searched, just like the Christian preacher that got arrested yesterday. They didn't strip search him, but they kept on touching his private parts. This is harassment of Americans who stand up for the U.S. Constitution, especially Christians, and of course, only people who support President Donald Trump.
Well, and it's pretty clear to me that orders come down from the top about who's going to be arrested, who's not, who's going to go to jail, who's not, who's going to get a citation or a fine, who's going to get a charge. It's pretty clear it all flows from the top because there is no consistency, and that's how you know it's political in nature. Now, I know you were down there, and you're there in D.C. now. Were you at the hearing? Were you at the NIH hearing today, too?
Yes, and I was at the hearing where Dr. Fauci's assistant is trying to blame everything on Dr. Fauci. And this is a very important point, Owen. There's going to be a point in the next 6 months where you can't use your job stability as the reason that you are making the immoral, the wrong decisions. People are going to have to stand up and say, you know what? I have to risk my life, my liberty, my pursuit of happiness to tell the truth and stand up for the U.S. Constitution. That's what needs to happen now.
Well, I think more and more are realizing that. Trump leading the charge, he basically said that exact thing himself. When he said, if the judge wants to throw me in jail for my First Amendment, then, you know, it'll be worth it. So were there any fireworks? Is there anything to report as far as the hearing developments?
I mean, what's happening with these hearings is that honestly, nothing really gets done, Owen. It's incredible because we get to see these people live and in person, but the real questions they don't allow us to ask. And when I get aggressive and I try to ask them, I almost get arrested. I'm so close to getting arrested. The U.S. Capitol Police wanted to arrest me yesterday for nothing. That's why I ended up filming my feet to protect myself. This is ridiculous at this point. When I was in college, if you told me that the First Amendment could be violated, I would have been shocked. And that's why I'm in Washington, D.C. documenting, because what's happening is a complete violation of our First Amendment rights pretty much every single day in a new and different way.
Yeah, and obviously the political persecution against Trump and his supporters is the prime example of that. The juxtaposition between the punishment for a leftist protester versus a pro-Trump protester, another prime example, and you're there in D.C. documenting it every day. Well, I hope you don't get arrested. I would say stay safe and stay smart, but I guess every day you're down there near the Capitol breathing, your chances probably increase.
That's why it's so important to get the word out, to do as many shows as possible, because they don't pick on you when they know that you have publicity. And that's what's so important.
Well, I don't know if I'd agree with that.
I understand that. Out of all the people that get arrested, the people with more publicity, and you can watch this in the J6 cases, they're obviously picking on you because you work for Alex Jones. But in most of the cases, they are picking on the weakest, the poorest, the people who don't have any publicity. There are so many people that I personally know that were in the U.S. Capitol on January 6th that haven't been arrested because they can afford the lawyers. They can sue back. And that's what needs to start happening. I think it's so incredible when lawyers agree to do things for free. But what really needs to happen now is that we have to sue back. So that's the most important strategy now. And that's why, you know, I'm a journalist. I'm not supposed to help protesters protest. But in this particular case, I'm going to take a stand because it's time to sue back for violations of the First Amendment that are happening way too much in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I'm taking my case to the Supreme Court to try to fight this dangerous precedent that they can incarcerate you or enhance your punishment with speech that has absolutely nothing to do with the crimes they're even charging you for. All right, Corinne Clifford at Corinne Clifford on X. Thank you for giving us an update on this story and stay handcuff free out there.
Thank you.
We don't need you with any new bracelets. All right, there goes Corinne. You know, and the truth is, we need more people that are just journalists out there every day. I mean, I would even say peaceful protesters, but that's just a risk. I don't want to, you know, it's hard to encourage somebody to put their freedoms at risk just by going out there as a peaceful protester. But the journalists out there, you know, that's important to document this stuff. And here's an example. Here's AOC saying the quiet part out loud. This is out front of the Capitol. AOC says the quiet part out loud that this, the whole purpose of these charges are to basically stymie Trump and his campaign efforts in clip four.
And by the way, he's doing it in the South Bronx, not to make a point, but because he's got court. And the man practically has the legal version of an ankle bracelet around him, and he can't leave the five boroughs because he always has to be in court. And so it is truly an embarrassment to him. And I am looking forward to the response of everyday Bronxites talking about how they feel about him coming to their back.
Wow. An embarrassment. Trump's the embarrassment. And you just said Bronxite. So, you know, I don't have to go into a long, drawn out explanation of supporting Trump or not, or encouraging you to vote Trump or not. It's, you know, it's up to you. But I think there's a message to be sent here. And I would just say, if you're anywhere near the Bronx, I would say, get your ass to this rally tomorrow. even if you don't want to vote Trump or, you know, maybe you don't like him that much or whatever, this is not even about Trump. This rally tomorrow is all about sending a big, gigantic middle finger to the corrupt Democrats, to AOC, to these corrupt judges, to the DOJ, the FBI, all the corruption, all the persecution. That's what this rally is really about. And so I hope this rally is gargantuan. I hope it's overflowing. I mean, I hope it's like just insane how big it is. They can't even handle it, bigger than they expect. That's what I hope. And again, it's not even necessarily about Trump. This is all about showing up as a giant political, cultural middle finger to all the corruption that Trump has to deal with, that I have to deal with, that you have to deal with, all the lies that get told by the Democrats 24/7 and their propaganda agents in the media. That's what the rally tomorrow is really about. And so I would just encourage you, if you're able to and you're anywhere near the Bronx, I would say get there and be present. And we need a show of force. We need a show of numbers. That all their lies, all their propaganda, and they're going to try to have a little anti-Trump rally too. We need to outnumber that 20, 30 to 1, 50 to 1, 100 to 1, and send a giant message to that bimbo AOC. Oh, yeah. Trump's not going to have a big rally tomorrow, huh? Oh, the Bronxites, people in New York are going to send a message to Trump about how unpopular he is and how he's not welcome there, huh? Yeah, I think it's going to go the opposite there. I think it's going to go the opposite there. And see, now you start to deal with this political momentum of, oh. Now, I don't view this as a high risk, but Republicans would probably view a rally in New York City as a high risk. But now, if this thing goes huge, if this thing goes massive, all of a sudden the political momentum that starts to roll downhill from this, and then Republicans open their eyes, these pathetic, spineless Republicans that will never go into inner cities because they're such cowards, and they all follow Trump because they just want to be liked and they just want to be popular and they just want to win re-election. So they just see what Trump does and what's popular, whether they like him or not. They just mimic it. And so, oh, Trump just went to New York City and had 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 people at a rally? Whoa, you mean we can go to these inner cities and have rallies? You mean we can actually go and try to win these blue areas, maybe try to get some votes? We can actually do that? Yeah, you bums. Yeah, you cowards. Yeah, you spineless twits. So this, I'm telling you, the results of this could be major politically and culturally. And so this thing needs to be huge tomorrow. I anticipate it is, but I want it to be even bigger than I expect. That's what I want.
Everybody's struggling. People are getting desperate too. That brings the crime up. When you get poverty and you get a bunch of people that come here that get actually more benefits than the people that been here, then what?
This is real America. This right here, people are paying 30, 40% more. We were just going to buy Windex to clean the windshield. Everything is expensive. Everybody is hurting. People need to see that their leader cares about them. And Donald Trump does care about them. And that's why he's coming here.
Why do you want to see Donald Trump tomorrow?
Well, Donald Trump is the man. Everybody wants to see Donald Trump. And Donald Trump is the man.
I'm really excited about this. And, you know, I'm telling you, this type of event has the potential to really change the entire political landscape. And I'm not just up here fluffing this deal. I'm serious, because I witnessed this. I witnessed this in 2016. Was it April or May 2016? When Trump had the rally in St. Louis, Missouri. And it changed everything. And Phyllis Schlafly was there. And that rally changed everything. Because to that point, Still, the entire Republican establishment was against him. The mainstream conservative media was against him, lying about him. Oh, he's not serious. Oh, he has no chance. And there hadn't really been a rally like that. And then he goes to St. Louis that day and gets 15,000 people inside the Peabody Opera House, has another 10,000 people lined up for miles outside and packing the streets, and everything changed after that. Everything changed after that. And then people realized, oh, this is the real deal. There's a movement here. There's an energy here that can be felt and doesn't exist anywhere else. And it was so impactful that the Democrats had to run their terror operations in Chicago to shut down his Chicago rally, which was the next rally after that. So don't underestimate the impact that this rally tomorrow could have. And yes, that St. Louis rally was the birth of the Age Skrillex Carl the Cuck video and what eventually landed me here. And now I'm hosting a show at InfoWars. So I'm telling you, folks, don't underestimate the impact that this rally tomorrow could have. This could be game-changing, more so than even the massive rally he just had in New Jersey. Because this is going right into their kitchen. So if you're anywhere near it, folks, I'm telling you, get there just to send a message to the corrupt establishment that's destroying our country. Even if you don't like Trump or don't want to vote for Trump, but you know how corrupt all this stuff is against him, I would say get there. Plus, it's going to be a historical event. By the way, so this is what these sick leftists do. Christina Bob, another Trump advisor and lawyer, now she's getting arrested for a speech charge because she was pushing back in Arizona against the theft and all the shenanigans that we witnessed there. And so now they're going to arrest her. Look at what they do as she's leaving the courthouse. These sick leftists, I can relate to this. Watch this as she's trying to walk down the streets in Arizona here in clip one.
Get out of my face.
Back off,
just
pal.
Like you, I'm in a public place.
You're in a public place assaulting my client.
Get out of the way.
Out of my face. Talking about assault.
Drink.
You don't want to be touched. Don't touch me.
Back up if you want a shot. You can have. I'm letting everybody take a shot. Back up. Get out of my face.
Christina, why'd you think this was so funny up and up? Why'd you think this was legitimate?
I'm sorry. I'm wearing a skirt. I'd appreciate it if you'd raise your camera.
Now, did you see that one leftist freak? Oh, I'm just standing in public territory. I'm just standing in public. And he's sitting there like trying to do like a moving screen in the NBA and chesting and bumping. That's a woman, by the way. I'm telling you, man, these leftists are sick freaks. They are truly sick, deranged freaks. Look at this. Look at that. Absolute. What an a-hole. What an absolute a-hole. Now we don't live in a man's world anymore. We don't live in a man's world anymore. But let me tell you, if we lived in a man's world, somebody would clock that son of a bitch. Getting there and bumping up against a woman saying, oh, I'm in public property. No, a real man would go up to a coward freak like that and say, get out of this woman's way, you a-hole, you jerk, you absolute scumbag. Like we can't see what you're doing here. They put a camera right up against her breasts. They try to get an upskirt shirt of her. I mean, these people are sick, man. These people are absolutely sick. They have no shame. They do not care. They hate you. They want you dead. They want you tortured. Put the beginning of it one more time. Put it in slow motion. I mean, just look at this jerk standing in her way, bumping up against her chest, saying, oh, I'm just in public property. I'm just in public property. That's what they do. Like, he's walking into her. If we lived in a man's world, which we don't anymore, and I'm not encouraging violence, you'll get arrested. You'll face charges. Can't do it anymore. You can argue if it's a good thing or a bad thing. You tried to do that in front of a woman 50 years ago, somebody's knocking you out. But we don't live in that world anymore. So I'm not saying that should be done. Be clear, I'm not encouraging violence, but just telling it like it is. But that's how sick these people are, man. That's how absolutely sick and deranged. I mean, should we go on? Should we go on about how sick these people are? Here's Stephen Colbert. The irony is completely lost on them. Here's Stephen Colbert, clip 14.
Evidently, MAGA now stands for Make America Germany around 1938.
Mm-hmm. The U.S. Helped defeat the Germans with the Russians and saved the Jews. And now it's the left that blocks Jewish students from going to class and harasses them. Here's Joy Behar basically saying the same thing, clip 13.
It exists on the right.
And by the way, out there, that hat that you keep wearing, that red hat that says Make America Great Again, that tells people that you go along with this. So you might as well just put a swastika on the hat.
Don't do that.
Because we see it anyway.
You see how sick that is? These are deranged freaks. But it's the same left now that literally will stand in front of Jewish people and block them from going into their places of business, block them from going to class, and then they say, oh, you're wearing a swastika. I mean, give me a break. Everybody knows that the right wing, if anybody is pro-Israel or Zionist, it's the right wing. Here's more of it. What is this in clip 24? I don't even know if I've seen this. I think the crew found this one. Somebody lunges at Team Trump, flipping over tables. Let me see clip 24.
Take one to no one?
Why don't you try it?
No, thank you, my girls. He'll be in jail by the time he gets the record.
Thought you didn't like it?
They're angry people. They are so angry.
He swings at a woman.
They're angry.
You can go to jail.
They're angry people.
He literally swings at a woman.
I'm sure they're in favor of you causing a bunch of...
Poor thing. That's assaulting what you're doing.
Here we go again, folks. And then he later flipped a table. Here we go again, man. I'm telling you, this is going to be 2016 all over again, folks. This is going to be 2016 all over again, where these deranged Trump haters are going to get violent. They're going to assault you. They're going to stalk you. They're going to call for your death. They're going to call you every name in the book. They have to be politically defeated. They have to become politically irrelevant. And they will go down in American history with the likes of the KKK. All right, let's hit the geopolitical here. Before we're joined by our next guest, we've got a Pfizer whistleblower coming up. Let's hit the geopolitical. Democrats propose ban on officials receiving payments from foreign governments after Trump probe. Now, this is just hilarious. Now, they know the Democrats will ignore the Bob Menendez, Henry Cuellar pay-for-play, and, of course, the Joe Biden pay-for-play. But the difference is Biden had it down to a science with his family that they would create the shell companies and the LLCs, and then Biden would get 10% in the form of a loan or, you know, whatever. And of course, the biggest foreign lobbying group in D.C. is exempt from this. That'd be Israel. Democrats introduced legislation Tuesday that would prohibit U.S. officials from accepting money, payments, or gifts from foreign governments without congressional consent. Their response to a years-long probe into former Donald Trump's overseas business dealings. So his business has nothing to do with his policies or politics or when he was president. His business. So what they're trying to do is stop Donald Trump from doing business. What Biden is Joe business in? Trump has international golf courses and real estate investments. What about Biden? So this is all about targeting the Trump organization from his international business deals. But the massive foreign lobbying in Congress, that's fine. Joe Biden and his family getting millions of dollars from foreign nationals. That's fine. Oh, don't bring up Bob Menendez. Don't bring up Henry Cuellar. It's all just such a sick joke, man. And they just don't even hide it. It's so corrupt, they just don't even hide it. The massive Israel lobby has failed to get Thomas Massie out of Congress. They tried hard. He won his race last night with 75%+. He responds after his victory. After spending $400,000 to smear me and watching me get 75%+ in the race tonight, they claim they weren't playing in the race. They deserve the ratio here. That's AIPAC. Now, here's AIPAC's statement. They say, we were not playing in Massey's primary, even though they spent $400,000 in it. We're shining a spotlight on his atrocious anti-Israel record. Anti-Israel record. So if you don't want to give Israel unlimited money and bombs, then you're anti-Israel. And of course, that is the stance. That is the approach. That is the narrative. That you should allow Israel to do whatever it wants, fund whatever it wants, bomb whoever it wants. And if you try to stop Israel or get in its way or just say, I'm not involved, then you're anti-Israel, you're an anti-Semite. I mean, talk about the entitlement. Talk about the mindset. But it's nice, isn't it? You know, Israel, the Israel lobby cares about you so much that they're going to spend $400,000 to try to defeat Massie and then take the big L. You got 76% of the vote. You know, look, it's really sad. The U.S. government is corrupt. The Israeli government is corrupt. I don't like that Joe Biden and Antony Blinken and Jake Sullivan and Victoria Nuland represent me and then make me look bad on the international stage, and then that affects my country. And the same thing is being done to Jewish people right now. And you could say, well, a lot of them agree with this, and the Zionists agree with it. Well, that's one thing. But no, there is absolute, I mean, call it whatever you want, anti-Semitism, it doesn't matter. People like Netanyahu and groups like AIPAC have cast such a negative image on Jewish people now that it cannot be reversed. And it's only getting worse. This attitude that somehow Israel is the number one player in the world and should basically get carte blanche to do whatever it wants in the world or in your Congress is obviously disturbing and disgusting. But now people are seeing it, and it's so over the top. And I mean, yeah, there's no doubt. Call it whatever you want, but there's no doubt this is having a negative impact on Jews. Absolutely. See, again, Massie isn't even anti-Israel. Massie doesn't call for anything. He just says, I don't want foreign governments and foreign countries to be involved in American politics. Well, you're anti-Israel. You're an anti-Semite. Well, explain that. Last time I checked the map, this isn't Israel. Although maybe they should reprint the map and just put Israel on the United States. I mean, would that be more accurate? Or maybe we should just declare Texas Israel, and then we could actually have a secure southern border. But let's move on. There are developments here. Israel bombs the Gaza Strip again, kills at least 62, including women and children. And so, again, now the international community has more leverage, calling for the arrest of Netanyahu. Yeah, the International Criminal Court is a political body. Absolutely. But, I mean, Israel is giving them all the rope that they need to politically hang Netanyahu. The continuing of the bombing, women, children being slaughtered by the tens of thousands. But they can't do anything. It's all just chatter. And Netanyahu basically says so. We'll have some of the clips. Palestinians welcome EU nation statehood. Bow as Israel hammers Gaza. Ireland, Norway, Spain to recognize Palestinian state. And again, it's the same response. And you have all of these Jewish individuals coming out and saying, you're a Nazi, you're like Hitler, you're an anti-Semite if you recognize the Palestinian state. What is that sense of entitlement? Seriously, what is that mindset? What is that psychology? It's profound to witness. It's truly profound to witness. By the way, who was in Israel first? Oh, let's not even go there. Israel lobbies German officials to condemn ICC arrest warrants. German government affirms commitment to the International Criminal Court. But see, nothing changes. Israel, by the time this is all said and done, will have killed 100,000 plus people. And they'll take over whatever land that they want. The Palestinians will get South Rafah. That'll probably be all that's left to them. Whoever wants to leave will be shipped to Europe and the United States of America. And then we'll have a holy war in those countries too. It'll expand out of the Middle East. And then here's your Republicans in Congress owned by the Israeli lobby. All put out, Democrats too, let's be clear, Democrats as well, all putting out the exact same message, literally a copy and paste. I mean, we could play the game again. There is no equivalence between Israel and Hamas as Israel responds to the October 7th attack. Well, I guess that's true. Israel's killed 50,000. Hamas killed about 1,500. Not to mention Israel stood down. And it's from, I mean, listen to all these names. I mean, there's dozens of these accounts. So, I mean, I could go and I could find out how much AIPAC is paying Representative Meng and Senator Casey and Representative Diaz Balart and Representative Buchanan and Representative Schiff and Wasserman Schultz and Tom Cotton and Tim Scott. And I know the number is going to be in the millions. When you tune it all up, the number will be in the millions. But if you dare be Thomas Massie and say, I don't like foreign countries owning our Congress, well, now you're the bad guy. If you're an American citizen and you say, I don't like the Israel lobby owning our Congress, well, you're an anti-Semite. Now the same Congress that Israel owns is trying to pass a law that makes that a crime. But see, it's kind of like the same thing where, and this is what's so frustrating. See, only one group gets this protection. If I come out and I talk about crime statistics and I say, look, Black Americans commit the most crime per capita, well, I'm considered racist, even though that's not racist at all. That's just a statistic. That's just data. Nobody's writing a bill that says, hey, you can't say blacks commit more crimes than whites, but they'll just call you racist. But now, if you come out and you say, hey, the Israel lobby has more control over our Congress than any other group, oh, you're an anti-Semite. Oh. And they write bills to make it illegal. If you come out and you say, hey, I don't like 50,000 people dead in Palestine, you're an anti-Semite. You're the problem. But no, this has nothing to do with how I feel about Jewish people. I actually like Jewish people. I just don't like war and death and foreign governments controlling our government. And then you show the facts and it's, oh no, that's illegal. Remember when the House representative sent that threatening mafia letter to the ICC saying, don't you dare touch Israel. Don't you dare. There will be consequences. We're warning you. Man, I wish you would take a hardcore stance like that on, oh, I don't know, the wide open southern border, Joe Biden draining the strategic petroleum reserves, big pharmaceutical companies injecting a product into you that can kill you. Nah. Nah. By the way, we do have a Pfizer whistleblower coming up. Let's get some audio here, though. First from Netanyahu. Asked if he's afraid of flying currently. Clip 19.
Are you concerned about traveling in the wake of this arrest warrant?
No, I'm not concerned about traveling. I think I'm not concerned at all about our status. I think that the prosecutor should be concerned about his status because he's really turning the ICC into a pariah institution. People are just not going to take it seriously. They see it as a politicized thing. I hope that the judges don't confirm what he says because that will make them into a kangaroo court.
The funny thing is, because he's not wrong about the ICC. They've been viewed that way for a long time. The difference is this is like the first time where it's kind of legitimate. That's kind of the irony of the whole thing. That's the twist. How does it feel when you see Netanyahu these days? I got to tell you, for me, Totally different seeing that guy. Totally different. I'd play his clips and some of the things. We'd cover him in 2016, 2017, 2018. Yeah, no problem. And nowadays you play him and you're like, wow, I'm disgusted at the sight of the guy. And this is, listen to what he says here in clip 18. I don't know if this hits like he thinks it does, clip 18.
He's creating a false symmetry between the democratically elected leaders of Israel and the terrorist chieftains. That's like saying after 9/11, well, I'm issuing arrest warrants for George Bush, but also for bin Laden. Or after in World War II, well, I'm issuing arrest warrants for FDR, but also for Hitler. It's a hit job. It's not serious. He's out to defame Israel, and he's also pouring gasoline on the fires of anti-Semitism that are spreading around the world because he is attacking the
You're
one and only
that.
Jewish state and trying to handcuff us, preventing us from exercising responsibly through the laws of war as we obey them and we are subordinate to them. He's saying we're not. He's creating false symmetry, false facts, and he's doing a grave injustice to the international court.
Boy, that 9/11 comment is crazy, though, isn't it? Isn't that crazy? Yeah, George Bush created the rise of Barack Obama because Obama ran as anti-war, and a lot of Americans viewed what the United States military did when George Bush was president as war crimes, killing all the people in Iraq and Afghanistan and everything that followed. So I don't think that really hits the way you think it does, Netanyahu. That doesn't really actually, yeah, people might actually agree with that. So that's kind of ironic. But now this is what the conservative media is trying to tell you to garner more support, unlimited support for Israel, clip 17.
Look, Biden is in the Hamas preservation business. That's what this is. If the Israelis were to hold back and not defeat the last 8,000 Hamas terrorists, these terrorists from this death cult, that would be the greatest strategic failure since 1948 when the State of Israel was proclaimed. And as the general pointed out, defeating Hamas takes one arrow out of the quiver, not only of Iran, but if you listen to the Hamas operations chief last week, he said he's doing this with the power of Russia and China behind him. This is the three-headed monster that this administration does not comprehend, that this administration does not stand up to. And if Israel fails, the West fails, and we are in.
If Israel fails, the West fails. Just think about that claim.
People don't want to hear.
If Israel fails, the West fails. Well, why? Is that a threat? Well, how is that? By the next guest, the brave Pfizer whistleblower, Melissa McAtee, at Melissa McAtee 92 on X, and she even has some documents that she can share with us here. But Melissa, give me a background into why you decided to come out as a whistleblower.
Yeah, so I was working at Pfizer when they took over Hospira in 2015, and I was promoted in 2017 to a manufacturing quality auditor within the facility. Pfizer deemed me highly trained and professional to determine the quality of their product and their operations. And while I was there during Operation Warp Speed in the pandemic, I saw several good manufacturing practices and standard operation procedures thrown out the door in order for speed to get the product out. But me, as a quality professional, I say that their product that they gave to the world was not quality.
So you saw the rush job affect the quality to such a degree you viewed it dangerous. And so you blew the whistle. And what happened next?
Well, I certainly believe people should have informed consent, which Pfizer was actively trying to withhold. But Project Veritas reached out to me after several failed attempts at reaching any other mainstream media, such as CNN and Fox and so on. And they gave me the opportunity to come onto their platform and share my testimony on the aborted fetal cell line emails. But that was just the tip of my iceberg. I have a lot more evidence against them.
Well, and we can go into some of that evidence, but I'd like to expand a little bit more on what you just said. Were you in contact with either CNN or Fox, and they didn't want to hear your story?
Nobody ever responded or even viewed my messages, to my knowledge.
Okay, so you're not sure if it was a conscious decision for them not to put your story on air, or if they just never saw what you were trying to communicate?
Yeah, that's what most people would say. They just are so busy, they never got my email. But Project Veritas was receiving thousands of emails a day. When they responded to mine within my email within 15 minutes of sending it. So I don't think that's an excuse personally.
Now, have you been a witness or anything in any court cases?
Unfortunately, no, I have not. Unfortunately, I can't seem to get past podcasts. I don't know if lawyers don't want to deal with this or what, but I have submitted legal affidavits to people in Congress and the Senate and have not heard anything back.
Well, I hope that this interview can help, and maybe I can get your information to some other lawyers that are dealing with in the courts right now with some of this stuff. You know, it's amazing to me because, well, I guess I would. So how much experience have you had as far as a quality control professional, specifically in vaccines?
Well, my Pfizer manufacturing plant in McPherson, Kansas, was solely injectables. And so we dealt with injectables day to day, but actually didn't produce vaccines until the rollout of the COVID vaccine.
And so I guess they just, you know, converted a lot of the operating to the COVID vaccines with the massive demand.
Correct. Yeah. But according to other people who have worked on other vaccines, none of this is normal.
Well, of course not. None of this was normal at all. You're obviously saying that from firsthand experience. This question might not be for you, but I want to ask it anyway. Had you ever seen anything with aborted fetal cells and injectables before? Have you heard of that?
Actually, before digging into all of the stuff that I found on their database, I actually hadn't heard of that. But then obviously finding the emails I did, it took me lots of research to be able to conclude what exactly they were talking about. But for some reason, even though it's public knowledge that aborted fetal cell lines are used in the development of vaccines, for some reason in those emails, they really, really didn't want the public to know about it. And they didn't want anybody mentioning it. They wanted them to divert and deflect the question.
Well, beside the fact that that's just a sordid detail and would probably turn a lot of people off from getting it just at that knowledge, I think it also opens up the exemption for definitely for Christians who would say that this is one reason why I'm going to apply for an exemption. And so that's probably another reason why they didn't want that information out there. And I'm not asking you to divulge any personal information that you don't feel comfortable with here, but being behind the scenes and knowing this, I mean, did you recommend to your family or your friends not to get this? Did this impact your decision?
Yes. Actually, I was planning on getting it as long as there was nothing sketchy at my job. It was simple as that if I felt this stuff was held to the typical quality standard, I was going to take it. I had no reason back then not to, but I also didn't know then what I know now. I advised everybody that I could about it. I tried warning them of the discrepancies and weird things that were going on. And some people, it was too late. Some people listened and some didn't.
Has there been any blowback from your employer, Pfizer, after this?
Well, they fired me after the story released with Project Veritas. Which I expected, but I was hoping that they would have some form of integrity in talking to me, wanting to know why I was saying the things I was or anything. And instead they fired me and kept the people in those emails who were so direct on wanting to keep things from public knowledge so that they could deny religious exemptions, which is exactly what they were doing at my Pfizer facility.
So Pfizer fired you for trying to do your job and then warning the public about quality control being skipped, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. And they had no desire to talk to me, which was sad considering I dedicated so much of my life. I'd planned retiring there. I had been a good employee and followed their rules, and I probably saved them a lot of money in recalls and a lot of rework. And I just, it was really upsetting to know that they didn't even care to talk to me.
Well, and I'm sure Pfizer, I mean, the city in Kansas where that manufacturing plant is probably very influential in that community. Were you the only one there locally that, I mean, what was the impact locally? Because I'm sure it's a very major employer for that area.
You're right. Yeah, it was in a small town, and I don't believe by mistake. It's so that the people there really don't have many other options. And so I think that they intentionally did that. But when I whistle blew, there was mixed reactions. People who know me in the plant, who know me well, obviously trust me. A lot of the good employees quit, unfortunately for us, because now the people that are left are the people who have heard my story. They know I'm trustworthy. They see it themselves, and they still stomach it and stay there. I can't go to McPherson without really people staring at me. And it's usually a mix of reactions to chuckles and eye rolls to people thanking me.
Well, obviously, at this point, you've been totally vindicated.
That's right. A lot of some of the stuff that I've been whistleblowing about since 2021, they have admitted on their own forefront, for example, that they didn't test transmission before doing all of this. And I even have the screenshots of their slides that show they knew 510 people died just after about 3 months of the vaccine being out, and they didn't care. They did nothing. The AFib that they've now admitted they've given 5 million people AFib minimally, which I was saying from the beginning because my mother-in-law got AFib right after receiving hers. So
wow,
a lot's coming to light, but there's still a lot that people don't know about. Like I had two witness testimonies come to me, two different people, two different departments that didn't know each other, that told me that the vaccine is arriving in our Pfizer McPherson facility in bags with no English on them that they can understand and only markings from China. And I think that that's a very important detail that I think the public should know for informed consent. And they didn't have that.
Absolutely. And that's law, international law. Now, I know you have some screenshots and some slides that you've brought for us today. So if you want to get into some of the more, gruesome details of this. So, I mean, aside from your witness testimony here, what kind of evidence do you have as far as the documents are concerned?
Well, one thing that I do like to show people here, if I can, I'm going to share my screen here. I call these the graphene oxide emails. And this is for the people who say, you know, graphene oxide's not in there and all of that. Well, I can't necessarily prove that it's in there, but this is Pfizer's own words about it. This is a woman named Sandra who reached out to me named Steve, and she wanted to suggest a proposed answer to the question, is graphene oxide in the Pfizer vaccine? And this is what she proposed. Graphene oxide is not used during the manufacturing process of the vaccine, and the final product does not contain graphene oxide. We cannot guarantee that minute amounts of substances are not contained in raw materials obtained from our suppliers. To ensure that we have a consistent, reliable supply of medications, we must use a network of suppliers and manufacturing sites globally for both active and inactive ingredients, which is just solely code for we're the peanut butter manufacturers. We can't guarantee flies aren't in your food. That was an honest answer she proposed, but this was what she was told from Steve. It would obviously be preferred not to add that second sentence, we cannot guarantee, but it is our common disclaimer to protect against any ingredients that may be in raw materials that we do not confirm against in any way. If we have the ability to specifically omit it, we should, but it would likely require some extensive confirmation from GCMC. But I think that is the statement we should go with for now. Hopefully our customers would appropriately consider that disclaimer in the right way. So basically what happened there is she proposes an honest response, which is, hey, you know, it could be in there because we get our stuff from China. But his response is, hey, don't say that. Just say it's not in there. It's actually our common thing that we don't guarantee against things that could be in there.
Well, I'm trying to get a better understanding of this because you can get all kinds of products and it'll have a little warning, if you will, at the bottom that says, you know, this product was made in a facility that also works with like fish products or soy or egg or stuff
or
like
peanuts
that.
Peanuts or something.
Yeah, yeah, peanuts for allergy purposes. And so that, I mean, that we can kind of grasp. It's like, well, yeah, if you're over here manufacturing a soy product or a peanut product or a fish product, but then also you've got this other product that you make that might not have anything to do with that, but it's just kind of, you know, contaminants, whatever it might end up in there to protect themselves. But I'm confused. Where does graphene oxide even come into the equation here? You mentioned about the things coming from China. So is that like a common thing? Does China use the graphene oxide, or what am I missing here?
Well, so that's a very good question. Why would graphene oxide be being put into this? I've read a couple different theories, and some of them are that the graphene oxide helps assemble the nanotech that is in there, which is in there. And something else is that it's just toxic and that it's actually not allowed to be used in medicinal manufacturing due to the toxicity of it. And so that's alarming, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, this is just incredible to think, because there's two angles to this. One, what you're saying too is that Pfizer products rely on ingredients from China, at least the vaccine.
Yes. Mm-hmm. During the pandemic that they ultimately started. And one of the things, like, people wonder, well, what's the connection with Wuhan and Pfizer? Well, I found this on their database. They had a worldwide medical and safety meeting. And Pfizer had a Wuhan research and development lab address 666 during the pandemic.
Oh, that's loving.
Yeah.
Huh. That's incredible. Well, you're really good with these screenshots, by the way, too. I mean, so you're going through all this. You're looking at these internal messages that you've shared. You're looking at these internal documents that you've shared. The graphene oxide, the situation in China. Was this after you kind of did the quality control whistleblowing thing and you learned even more of this, or was this all kind of part of the same process?
So I have definitely learned and grown since initially whistleblowing, but for the most part, I haven't had any new documents or anything like that, obviously, since leaving the facility. So my views have changed in some ways, and have become more developed and understanding, but for the most part, all of my claims have remained the same.
Now, I'm just curious to kind of go back on what you said, getting into your experience here. You were with Pfizer for some time. You said you've saved them from recalls and having to remake products. Can you give us an example of like a situation like that?
Yeah, for example, when a product is getting labeled and I notice that they have the wrong number ready to print on the label, and I say, hey, guys, this spacing's not right. This label's not right. You have to redo it. A lot of that gets missed, surprisingly, by other people. So then what they have to do is they have to spend all this money on rework, which is essentially peeling labels and putting on the new ones the correct way. Or, for example, a product one time hadn't been proven to be visually inspected by people before being sent out to the public. And so I caught that. Just a lot of error catches that, you know, that they get missed down the line. And that's literally quality's job, is we're the second set of eyes so that we can catch those mistakes. And so I did a lot of that.
Well, so I'm curious now, you were either ignored or they just didn't see it, whatever, or they consciously said, hey, we're in the business of promoting these vaccines, so we're not going to take Melissa's story here. Melissa McAtee, Pfizer whistleblower, my guest. Have you tried reaching out to some of these news institutions recently, considering, I mean, now the narrative has changed? You've been vindicated. Our reporting here at InfoWars has been vindicated. Have you tried to, maybe they're interested now?
I've actually tried reaching at the local level with no luck. In the beginning, I got reached out by my local news, Cake News, Wichita. And they left me a voicemail saying they were interested in getting the story. And when I called and texted back many times, they wouldn't respond. And then recently I've sent emails. I've texted that same number that had called me with no response. I do not reach out anymore to people like CNN or Fox, but I do reach out to people like Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, Alex Jones, Russell Brand, different people like that. And I do know that you guys are very busy and have a large platform, so that just may be missed, but I'm trying. I'm trying to get my story out there, because at the very least, something that we can all unite on is I don't come from an interpretation of the science, an interpretation of this and that, what the vaccine can or can't do to you. I come from a very lay person, common sense. We can all see the cook leave the bathroom without washing his hands and know that's gross. And so that's what I'm here to do, is to shine light on the vast malpractice that Pfizer intentionally and knowingly did still today.
Now, throughout this process, because obviously there were willing participants in all of this at the top levels, what are your thoughts witnessing that?
I think, like, the people who are ultimately in control of all of this are people we don't know. The names that we don't know, the faces we don't see, because people like Albert Bourla, a lot of people don't know this, but when they were busy bad-mouthing ivermectin as a parasite horse pill or whatever, that the CEO of Pfizer is a veterinarian. He's not even a, you know, person doctor. Pfizer manufactures animal medicine in the same place that we do human medicine. So, there's just things like that. Like, I personally think, like, Albert Bourla is probably a puppet, somebody oblivious that they can control. And I don't know how everything was so lockstep, other than the powers that be were all in agreement on forcing this on people for an experiment.
Do you think some of the Pfizer leadership, maybe the people you dealt with directly, or, you know, the people in other parts of Pfizer's product development and manufacturing, do you think they took the vaccine?
Yes. The day that we actually started producing the vaccine and having eyes on it in our own plant, there was a lot of vaccine remorse, regret, and crying on at least two of the lines that I visited that
day. I'm sorry, did you say crying?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which, you know, that's a sad thing. They were my friends and coworkers, and they were left-leaning, and they got it right away, even though I said, hey, you know, like, I would wait. You know, we see sketchy stuff here. I would just wait and see if it gets sketchy. And some of them chose not to wait and got it immediately. One Pfizer employee that got the Pfizer vaccine was in the bio lab, and she had a severe adverse reaction. Her lungs collapsed and other things. And that was medically documented by a doctor to be an adverse reaction from the Pfizer vaccine, thanks to Pfizer's mandating it to its own employees. And then another friend who received the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, who was over batch release in the plant, and half her body turned black and blue and paralyzed, and she was hospitalized for a while. And then she was getting blood clots and all these horrible things that, again, are documented by a doctor to have been from the vaccine. And for the most part, people woke up soon enough, but unfortunately, some people just simply didn't. And some of them were very desperate to keep their jobs and got the vaccine before Pfizer's mandate was final on firing people by a certain day.
Well, I can't even imagine from your perspective being behind the scenes there. I mean, I have, you know, the media perspective. You were literally quality control behind the scenes and saw all this stuff, watching the mainstream media promote this and saying safe and effective. I mean, repeatedly, then the government. I do want to ask one question, though, before we let you go here. Was there any approach or different messaging or anything between when Biden and Trump was president with the vaccine manufacturing? Because obviously, I'm sure you saw, maybe you didn't, but in the media and in the political world, it was when Trump was president, the vaccine is bad. It's not going to be tested. Biden and Kamala Harris and other Democrats said, no way, I'm taking this vaccine. It's the Trump vaccine. And then as soon as Biden got into office, they all said, oh, it's the greatest vaccine ever. We need to mandate it. Obviously, the vaccine ingredients didn't change with the same vaccine. Just all of a sudden, the politics changed. Did you see any of that internally?
You know, politically, no, not really. I would say that when Trump did get president, Pfizer gave their employees a bonus due to tax breaks that were given to Pfizer from Trump. And we all got a bonus. We're all really happy about that. And then when the vaccine was rolling out, it was not political, in my opinion, from Pfizer in itself. Pfizer was just excited to be getting the money, right? But something that did bother me greatly was in 2021, when we started actually producing the vaccine, Operation Warp Speed was referred to a lot as justification for bypassing the good manufacturing practices and standard operating procedures, even though part of the agreement with Pfizer and the government was that Pfizer would still follow good manufacturing practices and SOPs and keep the standard quality that they had given before, and they did not. And I definitely think Pfizer committed fraud against not only the government, but the world. And I definitely think I can prove that.
Wow. And you're certainly trying to. And I appreciate your time here with us today. If you want to come on again and try to get more into this and prove more of this, I hope that this interview gives you a little more reach as far as your story. Maybe some lawyers or other people in the media will pick it up. Melissa McAtee at Melissa McAtee 92 on X. Thank you so much for your time and your story. All right, we're back here live at the InfoWars World Headquarters. That was a powerful interview. And I'm probably going to upload that whole thing to my X account. Of course, you can download it, share it at band.video as well. That's just amazing stuff. I mean, so many huge bombshell things from Melissa in that last segment. Wow. Now, we've got good news at InfoWarsStore.com. This was one of the more popular products that we ever introduced. And the metric I'm using here is this stuff sells out like immediately. And I guess the conclusion is this is already popular. CBD products are already popular for pain management, pain relief, and we just went out and found the highest quality and the most concentrated product and then sold it at the lowest price, and it's just like it just flies off the shelves. Well, Rebel Zen CBD is back in stock, and we already sell it at the lowest price. And it's 33% off right now, back in stock, 33% off. And so get ready to experience the soothing benefits of Rebel Zen CBD once again. Rebel Zen Full Spectrum 3,000 milligram tincture. That's the one I got here on my desk. Rebel Zen Full Spectrum 1,000 milligram pain relief salve. Both back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Rebel Zen CBD is sourced from the finest hemp plants, extracted using cold press to maintain the molecular integrity of the cannabinoids in the plant. Full spectrum CBD is more powerful and healing than isolates or other chemically processed CBD. A full spectrum of cannabinoids and terpenes in the hemp plant ensures you get the full benefits of the nutrients available. Terpenes are the aromatic hydrocarbons within the plant that may also act as binding agents for the cannabinoid to absorb into the body's CBD receptors using the entourage effect. That's a hell of a read right there, let me tell you. And it's a hell of a product. Reduction in anxiety, pain relief, decrease in inflammation, promoting of the healing process. Take back your health with Rebel Zen's organic full-spectrum CBD today and fight like a Zen master. Reclaim your primal health and start the revolution from within. You know, it's funny, too, because I have quite a bit of friends at the gym, let's say, or I get recognized a lot. And the one product, and it hasn't been a while because we haven't had it in stock, but I hear about this, the Rebel Zen CBD, so much, and it's guys that have sports injuries or veterans that have aches and pains from their time in the military. And when we had it in stock, they'd say, hey, that's the best CBD ever. Oh my gosh, I had this knee problem or I had this inflammation problem. Oh, it's just what a relief. But now it's, hey, when are you going to get it back? Well, it's finally back. So, I mean, from just being out on the streets, or I guess rather in the gym, I hear about this product all the time. So Rebel Zen CBD Full Spectrum 3,000 milligram, Rebel Zen Full Spectrum 1,000 milligram pain relief salve, both 33% off, back in stock. It's going to sell out fast. At InfoWarsStore.com, and it's your support there that keeps us on the air. All right. Man, we still got a lot of important big stuff here. We're going to just try to cram it all in. Here, let's go to liberalism is a mental disorder. They really don't even remember their own words, their own statements. I mean, for years they would say Trump is an illegitimate president, and now they're acting like they never said it. Here's a couple of examples. Megyn Kelly with Bill Maher. I give Bill Maher credit enough that he's not like, he's willing to have a discussion with right wingers. And I think he truly does when he talks about bringing people together on similar issues. I think he means it. And I mean, he is kind of a far left liberal, but like he can come back to the middle, you know, on some things, but at least he's willing to have a discussion. So he's on a podcast with Megyn Kelly and he's acting like, oh, nobody ever said Trump was illegitimate. I mean, what? Come on, Bill. Clip six.
Hillary Clinton, of course, is the original election denier. I'm sure you voted for her in 16.
Well, she's not an election denier.
She absolutely was the OG election denier.
She, first of all, she came out before the sun had risen to concede the election to Trump.
And then spent the next 4 years saying he was illegitimate. He was an illegitimate president.
Okay, well, first of all, saying she didn't say he was an illegitimate.
Yes, she did.
You tell me exactly what she said.
She said those exact words repeatedly.
I believe he knows he's an illegitimate president.
Okay. I mean, she conceded the election. Whether you're interpreting her disappointment at losing it as the same thing as Trump not conceding it, I don't know if that's where you're getting it from. But again, it's a tremendous false equivalency. You could ask Hillary Clinton right now who won that election. She will tell you. Donald Trump won the election.
Now she knows she has to because of what Trump has done.
She came out that night
in her dark purple suit and conceded the election. Correct. And then spent the next 4 years trying to convince us it was not legitimate.
You can run the best campaign. You can even become the nominee. And you can have the election stolen from you.
But by the way, I mean, the original election deniers, I mean, the Democrats have denied every presidential election they've lost in the 21st century, starting with Al Gore. So I don't know if it's even fair to say Hillary's the original election denier. I mean, that's just the par for the course when Democrats lose a presidential election. But Bill was even more deeply embedded with that narrative. This is from his own show in 2017, clip five.
He's not a legitimate president.
I would agree with that, but
what?
But he is the president. I mean, it's one of those you have to keep two thoughts in your head at the same time. We do have a president. Yes. We are still Americans. He is the American president. I agree. He didn't get there quite legitimately.
But here's the thing. I think we're underselling how the non-legitimately part of this works.
Oh, not me.
I agree. But I spoke to a group of Democrats and liberals last night in Florida, and half of them were, like this crowd, fired up and understanding. We were invaded, is what it boils down to, just because there was not blood on the streets.
Right.
If the Russians had come in with Cossacks and put him in, I think we would have had a different kind of reaction to it. That's the reaction we need now. What I saw last night was... a lot of people hooting and hollering correctly and getting fired up and going, we're going to resist this in every way possible. And other people going, you really think it's that serious? Yes, I do think it's that serious.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's the point.
Well,
but it's the point of a war, other than to gain territory, is to put the guy you want in charge of somebody else's country.
Yeah.
And we're now only debating at this point, after the story in the New York Times yesterday, how much the Russians decided our election.
So, how do you even explain this other than liberalism is a mental disorder? That was on Bill Maher's show. They called it an invasion. Bill Maher agreed he was illegitimate. And this is all coming directly from Hillary Clinton. And then he goes on air with Megyn Kelly like none of it ever happened. How do you even explain that other than just liberalism is a mental disorder? Speaking of invasions, though, you know, there's a real invasion. We'll have more on that. Here's James Comey talking about Trump and the FBI. He's back. Clip 12.
Are you concerned that it may get a test unlike any other if Donald Trump is reelected? I mean, when you think about a second Trump administration, what do you think the implications would be for the FBI?
Oh, serious. For the Justice Department and the FBI, because Trump is coming for those institutions. He knows their power, and I think he has regrets that he didn't work hard enough to corrupt them last time. So he's coming for them, and that's a danger for all Americans. He's going to put people in positions in those organizations. He didn't have all-stars the last time. He'll have the bottom of the barrel this time. But people who will want to do his will, and that should worry every American. This election matters because of a reason like that. People have to participate. You cannot sit on the sideline. I don't care how you feel about Joe Biden. You must vote for him because the consequences on the other side are too severe.
Redemption tour. Final segment here of the InfoWars War Room. Brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. A lot of things we didn't get to. There is a very important video I want to play here, and we're actually going to have one of the individuals responsible for this work in studio with us on Friday, where they get shut down from this massive illegal immigrant facility, and the conversation is incredible, but it just shows you illegal immigrants, non-citizens, criminal invaders have more control over our government and more rights under our government than we do. And, I mean, you can't even believe that this is going on. It's so ludicrous. So watch what happens when they try to get information in one of these illegal immigrant facilities so they can come into our country illegally, but then they get their own little country with strong security, strong borders, and you, the American that pays for the whole thing, you're not welcome. Clip 23.
Put on information.
I don't care what
you... We're not asking you...
I'm not asking you for a second. Please step.
Don't ask me nothing.
Out. I'm going to ask you to please step out.
Oh, what?
I'm going to ask you to
please step out.
Or I'm going to call the police.
Are you calling the fuck you want to call?
I wish you touched me. I wish you touched me.
No, I'm not.
I wish you could talk to me, sir. Can you please step out?
No.
The footage you're about to watch here on the screen was captured by myself and my business partner, JJ Carroll. We are filming a documentary called What is Treason? Chicago was destination number two. We wanted to go to the heart of the migration crisis, straight from San Diego, straight to Chicago, so we could show you what treason looks like. This is what we captured.
So this building here, I think it was called the American Club. We had to go and get closer to it. The name of it is on the outside. But this is where they live in this building. They live in this building, and which is right on the side of the federal building, the Dirksen building. You know, we talking the Justice Department is right here, and right across the street is Dick Durbin's office, the U.S. Senator.
He don't care.
So
they live here. How many rooms are in here? Is this been renovated for that?
Renovated.
Totally renovated, yes. Just for illegal aliens.
Yes. Name is on the walls. You can look on the wall to see the name of it.
Drop off and pick up.
The American Replacement Center.
Let's see if we can walk in.
What is that name? Oh, the Standard Club.
Don't be any louder.
Oh, look at those strong borders that the non-citizens get.
So you have metal
detectors. You pay for the whole thing.
Yeah.
You got everything. Beds, cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You pay for the whole thing, but you're not welcome.
Private property.
They're welcome to your money in your country, but you don't get access.
Well, I didn't know that. We're not allowed to talk. No, see it?
You are not allowed to record it here.
Why?
That's called outside.
But why?
You need to speak to someone? Remember it over here.
Please step out of the building. This is a private, specific building.
So how many people
funded by my tax
here?
Dollars, though, right?
I'm not allowed to
funded by my tax dollars, right? We're not asking you for information.
It's a private building.
We're not asking you for no information.
I don't care what
we're you... We're not asking you...
I'm not asking you for a second. Please step
out. Don't ask me nothing.
I'm going to ask you to please step out.
Oh, what?
I'm going to ask you to...
Oh, what?
Or I'm going to call the police for you.
Are you calling who the f*** you want to call?
Go ahead. Hey, call the police for me.
Yeah, call the police.
You think you're talking to
the American citizens that pay for this whole thing. They have their borders shut down and their country invaded. All right. We're going to pull out of this for now. I got other illegal immigrant, criminal invader news I want to get to. That's J.J. Carroll and Mark Carter with Ryan Matta is where you can find that. They're going to be joining me in studio, by the way, on Friday to tell you more of this story. It's so offensive. It's such an affront to just basic common sense and having your government that's supposed to be for you. Well, it's not. It's for everybody but you now. You're just the dirty American that gets robbed to pay for your own occupation and your own invasion. It's disgusting. It's despicable. It's even worse. Look at what Bill Melogen caught at the border in California. Where are all these guys coming from? Clip 21.
Where are you guys from? What country?
Pakistan.
Pakistan.
India.
India. Where are you from?
Turkey.
Turkey?
Yeah.
Turkey. Okay.
India.
India. Where are you guys from?
Turkey.
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 Where are you guys from?
China.
China.
Ecuador.
Ecuador. Where are you guys from?
India.
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 India. Sagar Baba.
India. India.
India.
India.
India.
India.
India.
India.
India.
India.
India.
India. Iran.
Iran.
Iran. Why'd you come?
No freedom.
No freedom?
Yes, in Iran. Iran is a dangerous country. Mm-hmm. No freedom for speak, for writing, for singing, mm-hmm. for thinking.
Yeah, not really here either, bud. So, there you go. From all over the world, we're being invaded, and you're paying for it, and the occupation. Just it's maddening. It's unconscionable. It's unbelievable. I mean, there's no other way to put it. You're paying for your own invasion and your own occupation. It's nowhere in the world, nowhere in the history of the world has this ever happened. Gets worse. This is from the Eye of the Storm on X, and she covers the San Diego issue. Here she is in front of the Board of Supervisors, City Council, talking about what the illegal immigrants are doing in clip 25.
My person uses his name, Audrey. You know what's disruptive? Is that none of you are paying attention. You know what all this is? There's a whole lot more of it. These are IDs from people that have dropped them at the border. Why'd they do that? Why are they burning them like this? Why are they going through Mexican immigration with all of these papers like this and dropping it off? You think this is a joke, and it's not funny. Where is this dog tag? I have a military ID tag that I found from a Muslim soldier on the border. Okay? And you think that foreign military men and militaries from around the world aren't invading this nation? This is a national security risk, and you could all give a fuck. This is serious. A little girl has been raped, Nora. She's 5 years old. Does it not matter when a little girl is raped by somebody who crossed illegally? How can you say that all these people dropping their documents, they're flying all over Mexico from their country and invading ours, looking at us like we're invading their country, like I shouldn't be on my nation? It's a problem, Nora. Where did the 500,000 children go? Where are the ones from the convention center? When are you going to acknowledge that this is a fucking problem, Jim? How can a 5-year-old be raped? How many more? Does it have to be your daughter, Andrew? Right? Does it have to be for it to matter? You're not down there. I'm down there all the fucking time. And you don't know what the is going on, and you're complicit in it, and you wasted that money with SBCS. They spent $2 million on their employees for 4 months.
Thank you. Your time is up.
Wake up, San Diego.
Consuelo, that's your first warning, and Mark, you also have a warning. That's your second warning, Consuelo. I apologize. That's your second warning.
I mean, Roger, I just
thank you.
That's, quite frankly, that's a tame response to what's going on. That's a tame response. It's just maddening. It's unfathomable. And it's just normal. Just, oh yeah, you're being invaded. Oh yeah, tens and millions. Oh yeah, you pay for the whole thing. Oh yeah, they have more rights than you. Oh, soon they're going to be voting. What? And our own government is doing this to us? That's a tame response. We have no country under this normalcy of a criminal invasion. We have no country. Judge reduces bail for illegal immigrant with criminal record charged in killing of state trooper. Isn't that nice? Illegal immigrant should already be in jail because he's a criminal trespasser. Then he is charged in a killing of a police officer, and he's free. But, oh, you're a Christian preacher sharing the Bible in D.C.? You're going to prison. oh, you're a pro-life activist at a abortion clinic? Yeah, you're going to prison. Oh, you killed a police officer from another country? Yeah, you can get out. Rotting human remains and children raped. Why U.S. Border Patrol suicides have skyrocketed under Biden. God help us. God help us. If this continues much longer, folks, we won't have a country. Needs to be stopped. That does it for the InfoWars War Room. Brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. We take a 21-hour break. We'll see you tomorrow. Stay classy, InfoWarriors.